Shocker, why are you putting your jersey online for $250?
I've hit rock bottom, man. I've totally hit rock bottom, and it's just it's a necessary step, I guess.
Oh, my God. Did you see that?
Somebody sent it to me. Yeah, I saw it. And actually, a guy sent me a note a little while ago that he had one. It's been kind of floating around out there a little bit. But what's he asking for it?
$250.
Well, you know what? Tell you what, if he wants to get in touch with me, I'll throw a little signature on there, and then it'll be worth about $175. So,
oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, board burns. Board burns.
Yeah, that sure. Was I love the board burns and paint transfers. Like, that's really detailed.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No,
like, was there slivers? If he would have said slivers in the jersey, I probably would have bought it.
Those would have been the pants, man. Those would have been the pants, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I had a good chuckle about that this morning. It's legit.
Well,
I love
and
it.
And the funny thing is that I actually, and not because I went and bought it, but years ago, my older brother Rick, actually went and found a Blazer jersey of mine and had it framed and really nicely. Did an incredible job. Did one for my younger brother, too. My younger brother played in Vernon, in the BCJHL, and in Burnaby. And so I actually have, I'm staring at a number 18 Rashad Camus Blazers jersey hanging in my office.
Well, hey, buddy, you played there. You should have one.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would have gone and done it myself, but when a family member gives it to you, and Rick put in a ton of work on it. So yeah, it's sitting here. I love it. It's in my office. It's great. My boys asked me about it, but, I don't know that I'd spend $250 on one if I were anybody else in the world, though, other than maybe my mom.
Yeah, well, she's probably got a few already, I would think.
Yeah, there you go.
Edmonton Oilers, another pretty solid performance again last night. They did.
Hey, yeah.
You know, Minnesota has a team that usually just kind of, bores the life out of anybody to watch the game. But sure. The Edmonton Oilers, I know it's a small sample size, but the last eight games, you know, maybe excluding the San Jose game, their attention to detail, their competitiveness in a lot of areas has been almost like night and day compared to long stretches earlier this year.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously the credit starts with the players because they're the ones executing. But I think Todd McClellan has to pull some credit here because over a stretch of time that really means nothing, I'm not sure what he did, but there was a rock bottom. I can't remember which game it was recently, but remember it was maybe that road trip or whenever it was, the homestand, somewhere in and around there where it was as low as it was going to get. And he's done a nice job of motivating them to maybe pay a little more attention to detail and to give them something to play for between now and the end of the season. And the team is playing pretty motivated hockey for a team that doesn't really have much to play for. So the quality of their game was there last night, the attention to detail. I thought Jordan Eberle had a fantastic game. That was as engaged and active and fast as I've seen him in some time, and he's been playing pretty well lately. So, I thought the game was a real good, solid game. And the one thing I think they did a good job of last night was getting the puck to the forwards. The defensemen thought did a nice job moving the puck. And that's what it looks like when that happens.
Well, you know what? I really liked the Draisaitl Eberle Maroon line last night. They were best line. They were exceptional.
Yeah, Eberle was really, really good, man. And Jordan Eberle was motivated and fast. He was aggressive. He was looking to shoot. He was full speed last night. Like, there wasn't a lot of floating around waiting for stuff to happen. He was on it last night. And that was a really good game by him. And Maroon is a really nice complementary offensive player. And again, he's getting a bit of a bounce here because he's the recent trade and playing with some good players. And so the consistency is the issue, as you pointed out, but he definitely has the skill level, the hands to play with offensive players. He might never be a 60-point guy himself, but he's got the hands to make plays. And the one thing that I noticed in watching that game last night, their last couple of games really, is what did Peter Chiarelli tell us at the midway point of the season? He thinks that the team is relying too much on getting things done off the rush, and he wants to become a team that can get more done off the cycle. And that's That's what they're doing. They're cycling pucks and getting more done off the cycle. He's brought in players that are designed to do that, and you can see the transitioning in where they're finding success in their game. They're still a good rush team, and they will be because they got lots of speed and skill, and look at McDavid's goal. But they are really effective in the cycle game as well in their top three lines.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins returns tomorrow. First game back, they probably don't disrupt the top two lines. But do you think eventually for 5 or 7 games they want to have Eberle, McDavid, Hall, Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl all in the top six in some form or another, and probably Maroon, I guess, being the other one?
Well, I think based on Peter Chiarelli's availability at the trade deadline, I think they want to see what three centers looks like. I think that's higher on their priority list than seeing how good a set of two lines they can make. I think they know they can already make two pretty good lines. I think they want to see what it looks like with them, McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins coming over the boards, 1, 2, 3, what kind of matchup situations they can take advantage of. I think their biggest priority is to figure out how that looks, because, I mean, you listen to Todd's availability, and he even alludes to the fact that they got some decisions to make in the offseason, sight unseen. They need to get some of these questions answered, and Peter Chiarelli wants to see what it looks like, 1, 2, 3 centers. I think they're going to keep them separated for a little spread of time here.
Okay. And, you know, and that's totally fair. I could see him and Letestu playing together for a game, Ryan, just because coming off the broken hand, I'm not sure they want Nugent Hopkins taking a ton of faceoffs just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching him in practice. Like, he's been taking faceoffs at practice. He's been working on them. He hasn't looked ginger in any way for that hand. So, I mean, you might be right. Maybe if it gets hit the wrong way or something like that. But he's been working on him in practice. So I could see them going, I don't think they want to, because I don't really know what Todd does or doesn't want. I'd leave that Maroon, Draisaitl, Eberle line the same. I would keep McDavid and Hall together. I'd be open to the idea of a shift with Cassian if he wanted to throw Korpikoski back on that other line and go with Nugent Hopkins, Cassian, and Yakupov. And then you've got a decent spread of skill over three lines. McDavid and Hall, I think they should give McDavid and Hall a longer look here. And I think that they need to keep that dry side of line together. Where Cassian and Korpikoski slot in, I'm not sure.
Laurie Korpikoski, I know the analytics guys weren't loving him early on, but Korpikoski skates very well. And he's a reliable player in his own zone, kills penalties. And, you know, lately, obviously he's on fire a little bit. So right now I could see him being promoted. And a lot of teams around the league don't have proven top six guys all the time playing with their star players.
Yeah. And I don't,
he's an Olympian, Shogger. He's a World Cup hockey player. He should be there.
Yeah. I don't know how effective do you think a Nugent Hopkins, Korpikoski, Yakupov line has a chance to be? I think they need a little more. I think they need a little more playmaking kind of. I don't know that line sets up for a real good chance at significant success. Whereas if you move Cassian in there, he's big. He can dig pucks out, but he can also make plays. I think you've got enough skill between McDavid and Hall on that line that I don't think, unless Korpikoski is a total anchor and the play continues to die with him, I might be tempted to spread out the skill over three lines like that.
So you think Cassian has that much more skill than Korpikoski?
Yeah. Oh yeah. His puck handling, playmaking, vision. Yeah. Significantly more in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think he's a better skater, and I think he's, when he wants to be more physical, he can be. He's a much more sort of all around player that, you know, and I know we haven't seen a lot of offense from him, but just the way he can make plays and find people, he's got really nice vision and can distribute the puck. And so I think that it is a step down skill-wise to go from Cassian to Korpikoski on the line. But I think you might be able to afford to do that on the Hall-McDavid line.
Yeah, see, I think Korpikoski's got a little bit more skill than people think. You know, he's had 19 and 17 goal seasons. Cassian, yep. The best he's ever had was 14.
He's pretty north-south.
Yeah,
and he's
very
pretty,
north-south.
A lot of his goals are coming around that nasty area, and that's good. You like that. I'm more talking about a guy's ability to make good plays off the rush, good plays at the offensive blue line. He's a dump and chase guy through and through.
But he's not really going to be the guy, I think, that's carrying the puck very often with those other two.
No, but I mean, naturally, he's going to have to at some point. And Cassian has much better vision and is a much better playmaker.
Okay, no, that's fair. He definitely adds a different element. So I'm curious to see. You know, I think McClellan now with Nugent Hopkins will definitely juggle some things. But I agree with you. I would leave the Draisaitl line, them, Everly and Maroon, like the third period against San Jose. I thought they were really good. I thought they were excellent in Minnesota, so I'd keep them there. And
Draisaitl found his jump, hey, last game. That extra kind of boom, take off speed.
Yep.
He found it last night, and it's been missing for a little while. He hasn't really had that element in his game where he is out just on a tear pulling away from people, that extra something. And he found it a bunch of times in last night's game. I thought that was a really big step forward back to where he was before for Draisaitl last night, just in the intensity level and the quality of his play and how dangerous he looked. And that's a pretty good blue line they were playing against.
No, that's the thing. Exactly. Minnesota's got a pretty, they stopped, I thought, almost two sure goals by just having good sticks last night by the Minnesota defense.
Yeah.
That one give and go with Hall and McDavid.
Yeah.
You know, if Spurgeon doesn't make a great play, that's, you know, empty net for Hall. And then I think it was the other one on Maroon and Everly. So,
but don't you think, though, in watching Hall and McDavid playing together a little bit more, that it's getting better?
The chemistry is
building. They're finding each other. And those two operate on such a high level, just speed-wise, everything they do. They're both incredible skaters. Connor makes plays so fast. You got to give it a little bit of time for Taylor to almost catch up cerebrally, like to understand how fast plays are going to happen when you play with them, to understand, you know, it can't be easy playing with a player that skilled. You'd think that maybe sounds counterintuitive.
No, it's like hard to play with skilled guys. You got to think the game at the same level.
Exactly, and to understand how to take advantage of that. And it's going to, you know, Taylor will take a little time and figure it out here, but I think there's huge potential with those two together, and I would imagine they're tempted to just keep going to it, and no reason to split them up, especially because the other line looks pretty good as well.
Well, and the fact, you know, they didn't get it. Their line actually got mixed up a few times last night because of penalties and Connor McDavid's down the penalty kill.
Yeah.
That then you saw him. So I think I might have only counted 10 or 11 shifts, which when you think that's not a real whole bunch, right? Like people are expected. Yeah. I know because McDavid and Hall both put up a lot of points that it's going to be instant fireworks, and it's not.
They did get thrown together later in other games, so they have played together quite a bit the last three games. But that was the game where they started together and went wire to wire outside of what you talked about, getting a little bit mixed up. But I think if Todd has it drawn up on a whiteboard in his coach's office, it used to say Everly McDavid, and now it says Hall McDavid. And I think he's probably going to give that a look, much like he just gave Everly a long look there, to see what can happen with that between now and the end of the season. I think that's important to get that look as well, because if he and Hall are sensational together, then, you know, it's good to know that. And it changes considerations for everything in the offseason, getting a bit of a sense for what the possibilities are and what you know does work.
And lastly, what did you think of the bottom four defensemen last night?
The bottom four? Four?
Like not Secker and Fain.
Not Secker and Fain. I liked Osterley. I thought Clendenning took a bit of a beating last night. Got hit really solid, probably three or four times. But I liked Osterley's ability to move the puck. I liked the way the guy could skate himself out of trouble. So I didn't mind that so much. Reinhardt was just okay. Osterley to me is the one that stands out from that group.
Yeah, well, I think Osterley's ahead of Clendenning. Like, I'd be surprised if they like RFA Clendenning. Now, the only way they do that is maybe because they want a right shot depth guy in the minors. But to me, Osterley, and I know he can play the right side, but his ability to not make mistakes with the puck puts him ahead of Clendenning. Like, he just seems more poised with the puck.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think the other guy I was keeping an eye on last night was Jonas Brodin, who there have been rumors that he may be available. And he's a left shot that plays the right side and would be a fantastic fit at Edmonton. So really like his game. He's used to playing a lot of minutes, plays beside one of the best defensemen in the world, and is a really, really good top four defenseman. So I was interested to watch him play last night a little closer.
Shauger, have yourself a great weekend, and good luck to the auction guy trying to sell your jersey. Rashog will sign it.
Yeah,
he will sign it. So you reach out to him via Twitter, the guy who has the Ryan Rashog Kamloops Blazer jersey online on sale right now on Kijiji. Any fans want to go make a bid on it, you can.
All right, something tells me it's still going to be for sale on Monday.
It's pretty hammered with tons of pucks and stick marks, board burns, paint transfers, and team repairs.
Paint transfers.
Yeah, that's my favorite line. Paint transfers, I love it.